Okay, go ahead, Joanna.
Yeah, that question is very interesting, Anna, and especially for me. I use Next Culture Radio more than I'm using these calls to my own personal work or whatever I choose to do with the spaces I create with Possibility Management Context. And I'm creating like a podcast. It's kind of a new thing. And I imagine it will be very helpful to have some matrix, to hear some matrix in order to have ideas from what to talk about and what questions I might be doing. So I imagine the context, it's not about me coming or not coming to the session because it's recorded. That doesn't work inside of me. But I imagine having the records for our matrix and how we use it further to write a book, run a podcast. So this is very interesting to me as a recording. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no need to raise the hands. Okay, we're in a circle. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So Anna. Yeah, with the recordings, I find them really useful. Like whether or not there's like a gremlin like collecting stuff, but there's like moments that I have where I'm traveling, for example, or I'm like, don't have something to do, and then I just end up looking at Next Culture Radio, and I'm like, whoa, there's so much since I last looked at it. Like, there's a lot happening, and I'm inspired then. I'm like, oh, cool, like, what do I want to listen to? So I find it really useful, and I appreciate having the diversity of recording, because sometimes I'll just, like, scroll through and see what speaks to me. And it's like having so much that I'm like, wow, there's like, I'll never run out of stuff to listen to. There's something about that that I appreciate.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to say though that I'm using Podbean, which is more like a logistical thing, but I'm using Podbean and we're paying for this account. So it's unlimited how much I can put on, but I don't put the trainer path calls on the Next Culture Radio. So, and I don't know how I sort of made this decision. And it was like, somehow we having topics about like the game world of possibility management. And somehow I have this, I don't want people who just, they listen for the first time and they don't know anything about the context. And then they hear that. So it's kind of still available for everybody, but just on the Podbean, and often people just don't travel all the way there. They just go to Next Culture Radio. So does that?
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It's two platforms. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I use the Podbean app and I have the access, and I always thought it might be better to have the trainer pass calls kind of limited, not in the public open space.
Yeah, I agree. And then I didn't want to pay for another Podbean account. So
okay.
If there is another possibility of unlimited uploading, I would move them there.
How much is it, this Podbean account?
Like a little more than 100 a year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. We could talk about this in the Trainer Pass gathering if we like to afford another mm-hmm. account for ourselves.
Okay. Well, for now, I'm going to leave it like that. And I thank you for the feedback and not letting it slide, Sarah. So, I appreciate that. So, Joanna, I would still ask you about... like what do you need? Like, do you need to make a pirate agreement with somebody? Because we wouldn't start, I mean, and then Anna, the question would be the same for you about, it doesn't serve you to have the sentence in the back of a book, actually. I mean, the first time I think I wrote it in my like front of my beat book, but after that, I learned it by heart and I'm carrying it by heart. So what do you need to have that?
A part of me would like to go through the whole thing again.
The whole process of the underworld?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be a lab process. And I know that like among the people who are coming to the Trainer Path gathering, a lot have not done this process, who have not taken out the jewels out of it, like the sentence, and having it on the tip of their tongue. And I'm not going to hold space for it because it's a lab process, and it's just, I don't want to do lab process in the Trainer Path gathering.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Joanna. And Anna?
I had the sentences in New Zealand, and it didn't really land. That was the feedback from you, Anne-Chloe. So I just want to have time to say it where I am right now and see if that's, if it's that, actually. I want it, yeah.
Do you want to do it now?
Yes, I'd love to do it. And I'd like to do it once in English and once in German, because somehow for me this is important. And I start with English and I still read it.
And make sure that you have your center and grounding cord and bubble. Yeah.
I am a powerful, jealous revenger. I'm the middle of your universe, the reason for your life. If not everything is about me, I'll suffer till you turn to me, and then I play with you a game about love and ignorance to get all your attention.
Okay, and in German?
I don't have it written here. So I just, yeah. Ich bin das Zentrum deines Universums. Alles geht um mich. Wenn nicht, spiele ich mit dir so lange, bis du mich leiden. Nee. No, it's not finished.
Yes, it's not. Also, in German, you didn't say the first sentence. You
said no, that I am. Ich bin, yeah. But what for me really worked was that I'm kind of like a black hole that sort of sucks all the energy in, but then I have to put there a kind of a job, and I don't really have the job. For me, it's really this black hole that's just turning, spinning around himself and sucking the energy out of everything. But the black hole is somehow wrong for PM.
It's fine. You mean because we use black hole in a different way as a different distinction?
No, I had to put like a job, that like I am and then a person's name or something.
But black hole would work. Like I am, and I wouldn't say powerful, because powerful is just too neutral. So I would skip powerful, and you said something, and revengeful black hole, that would work. You have, you know, two or three adjective. And I would also ask for other people's feedback, but my feedback is you're missing the end, the benefit.
Yes.
So you describe your technology, and it might not be, you know, perfectly accurate, but it works. But at the end, you're missing, what do you get out of it, or what happens? What happens mm-hmm. to those people that you do that mm-hmm. with?
Yeah, I
was just going to ask, are you ready to just yes. give her a second so she can write, and then, yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah, Anna, it sounds pretty mostly complete in that you have kind of the overall concept or idea of what happens. I think it just needs like a little bit of refining in how you structure the statement, like with what Anna Chloe said, it's like there's a piece in the last sentence where it's like, I do this so that this happens kind of thing. But it feels like you have kind of the overall shape. It just needs like a little bit of detail work.
And I would just add on to what Amanda said about, it's not very elegant, and the underworld is very elegant. The underworld is as elegant as the upper world. And it's not very poetic. So in a way, it doesn't really like land in the space because it's kind of too ordinary. Mm-hmm. So that would be the work of, you know, getting the words, getting the sensation, the experience, and putting it in words. Yeah.
Yes, and it is nice. The sentence is quite kind of nice. You can say it to everybody, and it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt me. I don't feel like the cruelty or the despair.
So that could be a feedback about the way that you say it.
Mm.
It's the tone or the evilness that, you know, let your gremlin say it with all its, you know, lush and excitement about doing that.
Yes, my feedback is similar to Susanne. What I would like to say to you is that I can't feel the pain. I cannot feel the pain saying this while you are saying this.
I just want to say that we have parts, and this is the gremlin, and the gremlin doesn't feel pain at all about doing that kind of stuff. So you would feel pain, or your being would feel pain. So, you know, there's a purpose of when I say my sentence, it's my gremlin who says it. With, you know, I allow my gremlin to say it. So it's not so much about me feeling the pain, it's about, you know, there's different purposes, but it's about, this is the kind of clarity that you can have about your gremlin.
Mm-hmm.
And not being a victim about that. So I'm afraid that you're saying feeling the pain is about this is bad, or this is wrong, or this shouldn't be there. And this is not what this is about.
Hmm.
This is about the clarity so that you have a choice.
Thank you.
I want to say that I am not finished with my sentence, and I'm going to finish it until next week and tell you next week.
Thank you.
I'd like to finish it till next week as well.
I came up with a sentence now. I had memories of stuff coming to me, and I want to give it a try. I am the creature that never dies, that hypnotizes you to believe that is a safe space for you. So when you're vulnerable, I can leave you alone and suffer, because I want to feel the pleasure of revenge for every time I suffered alone, so you experience the pain of dying by yourself. I guess this is one part of it.
And okay. No comment.
Yeah. Okay.
Amanda, go ahead.
Yeah. It gave me chills. Like, I definitely felt the truth of it. And yeah, I think it just, the sentences could be refined a little bit more so that it's like maybe just three clear sentences.
So Amanda, it's sort of a coaching for you to use your Gremlin and your Clarity to, like, because Joanna has been doing, you've been in possibility management for like 7 years, no? Something like that. Okay, how come in 7 years this never happened? You know, so there's something in Joanna that has been stopping this process. So you have to, like, break through that box and be really, like, crystal clear about the process, the feedback. So I didn't even quite get your feedback. And if I got it, you said three different sentences, which I would actually say it's one big sentence with three parts in it. So, but I think there is some jewels in your feedback. So would you say it again with more clarity and just with more of this anger, or, you know, your Gremlin Clarity also by your side?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So Joanna, I felt the shadow that your Gremlin is in this sentence. Like, you captured kind of the essence of it, and it needs to be refined into with less words. Like, so it has three main parts about what your Gremlin is, and then what it does, and then what the payoff or the result is of what it does. So see if you can condense it into that.
It would really need to start by saying, you say, I'm a creature. So then it would be, what kind of creature?
I'm the creature.
Okay, you're the creature. It would start with, okay, but it would start with maybe adjective about that. That, you know, you say that never dies. So it's like the indestructible, the invincible, the undying, the walking dead creature. And maybe you add a couple adjectives. Yeah.
Mm.
And the rest works. Again, I got the really like a chill down my back, and it needs some poetry in there. It needs some like underworld poetry.
And I want to add these many words which fill the informations, the gaps between the informations. There are many words which have no meaning or not much meaning, and they make that it dilutes the essence. So the reason why you are, yeah, no, I'm finished, thank you.
I mean, what I was thinking about you, Susanne, today, I don't know really why, but what I realize is that somehow you have, when you speak, you use particular words that I hear nobody else use.
Okay.
Even in English. So you have this kind of poetry or this literary culture, like, or you've cultivated your literary vocabulary. And that is so useful for both the underworld and also the upper world. And so I think, Susanne, you would be a great like coach and buddy to create that sentence with, because you're clear and you have this access to this vocabulary that not everybody does.
Okay, I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
For me, it was the word dilute that I, yeah. Just right now.
Okay, thank you. I want to make a proposal to Joanna. I'm going to write this sentence this week. If you want to, we can have an exchange about writing the sentence and have like direct feedback and coaching.
Yes, consider it done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a question, I guess, especially to you, Amanda, but also Joanna, about the way that you deliver the Gremlin hunting in the Expand the Box. So Amanda, would you just really in like a couple minutes tell me how you do it?
Yeah, that's a good question because it's been a while since I last took my Expand the Box, or the last one I was participant in. So probably there's been a lot that has evolved since then that I haven't seen or, yeah. So when I talk about Gremlin, I mean, I introduce Gremlin for the participants, but I don't know of any like particular activity or process. I usually just talk about it like and present it to people, and sometimes I'll like draw a picture of the gremlin on the leash to give people a concept. But I don't, if is gremlin hunting, is that like a particular activity or process? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so then you introduce the distinction gremlin, but you don't actually do the gremlin hunting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Joanna, would you mention how you do it?
Yeah, last time I did it with Vera, the practice ETB, and we set up the space after a break would be the first process to introduce the whole afternoon. And we would say almost nothing because we touched the low drama map and we say already in the past, what is gremlin? And then we would give, okay, so pick your piece of paper, you need a pen for this. So there's not so much explanation, and we would gather in a circle. So you have like 2 minutes to draw your gremlin without people really knowing what they're going to do. And then guide them through the process of the foods that he likes, like the physical food, intellectual food, sexual food, and then give it a name. And then go through the process of, okay, you have your gremlin on the leash, look to your left side and ask for your gremlin the name until everyone has it. And then we would introduce the gremlin, or the ones that want you to introduce the gremlin, introduce the gremlin to the group.
Okay, thank you. I feel a little scared about some words that you use, Joanna, about we would ask people, one of them is we would ask people to find their gremlin name, which you don't find the name, or you don't name your gremlin. You ask your gremlin his name. And, you know, it comes out and it slips like that. You know, it's like when I say that, you're just like, oh, yeah, of course. But then when you say it, this space is so full of gremlin and the gremlins don't want to be discovered. You say that and the gremlin is going to be, yes, I'm going to give myself a name and I'm going to fool that like stupid little person who thinks they're going to own me. And then you've lost them, you know, and to start that process again, then for like a year, 2 years, 10 years, if they never come back to a training, they think they have found their gremlin's name. So I think as Amanda was saying, the process has evolved, and like I have been in, it was in two, I got to be in a lot of different Expand the Box, and I got to have really two different processes. And I would like to offer, not in this call, I would like to offer it where, when there's more people, if ever we ever come to that subject with more people in the call, about the way that we deliver it with Clinton and how, and the powerful of the steps of it. And Amanda, I know I didn't know that process didn't exist a couple years ago. So it was invented by Nicola and Patricia, the gremlin hunting process. I think maybe now, you know, time flies, but maybe three and a half years ago. And even after that, I think Clinton and Anne has evolved it. And I know other trainers have evolved it in different ways. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to put that on the table, but I would like to do it another time where it's more people. Cool. Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah, thank you. That would be cool. I would like to learn about that.
Okay. Well,
yes.
Yeah. Sarah?
Yes, I would like to share something because I haven't done an ETB, but I have delivered something really similar, and I hope we do like a gremlin hunting, and I did also with children at school and with my children. And can I share how I did and ask for feedback to you? I asked to write down in a paper what they don't like, what people don't like, what they hate about other people. And then when they have a list, yes, it's also something energetic because it changed really the energy of the space.
Sarah, I want to interrupt you because I think you've done the gremlin hunting with us, which is that seems like the beginning of our process.
With us? No, with you and Clinton? No, I did with Anne Schmidt.
Yeah, which she would have a similar process because Clinton and Anne
developed
it together. And it's just, it's not that I want it secret, but it's that there's a recording and I want people to be able to go through it without them having it intellectually first. But it sounds like that's the process that we would
deliver.
So the best actually would be Amanda, that when I would like to deliver it online with the people, for them to start having a beginning of a shadow sentence. And then you could witness it because you won't have to go through it because you already have your shadow sentence. Cool. Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Anything else about that?
I have a general question. For me personally, the underworld process was very important, and I did it in my first lab, and in the second, and in the third lab. So it was then. It was often. It came often, and now it is not done anymore. I don't hear. I meet a lot of people who have never heard about the process. Why is it so?
I don't know. I don't know. I think there's a choice. There's a choice about there's officially 51, but there's actually 80 core processes to go through. Mm-hmm. And it depends, you know, how many, if you have half of the people who've already done the underworld process one, two, or three times, then you would just like, okay, they need to go through something else. And that can also serve the other part that hasn't done the underworld process. So I think it's always a choice. And it's like, you know, are the gremlins smart enough to go to the labs where that's not going to happen? And then it's, you know, as trainers, you can point it out saying, hey, okay, that needs to be your next process and the value of it and why is it so important to do it. And then to ask when you go to a lab to the trainer, hey, I need to come to your lab, but if you're going to do the underworld process. And so it's sort of like putting back the responsibility with the participants. Mm-hmm. Because before there was the way Clinton had designed the very first labs or even the very first ETBs was ETBs A, B, and C and A, B, C, D. And there was it was anger, sadness, fear, and joy, something like that. And then people came to, and it was a program and everybody was going, moving at the same pace. And when they started to have, you know, multiple trainers, it was just not practical or really efficient. So then it's more left to the chaos or the universe moving people around. I would say don't stop asking the question or don't, you know, if you meet people and you see them like, you know, 7, 8, 9 lab and they haven't done the underworld process, is like, okay, this is next. And to put it on the table like that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
That would be a reasonable explanation on my side. one of the things we had already, I've met Sarah and Joanna today. We had a trainer path call with the Brazilian people who are really doing the same work as we're doing here. And Sama wanted to have this conversation about initiation, and anyway, we went straight into process, into building their circle of healers, healing healers, and to put that in their context. And so I would, you know, I mean, what I sense is that a lot of us are also game world builder or space holder for other game world. And it is so rare in other game world to empower the participants to take our job, basically. You know, I mean, when I was thinking about it, okay, this is, you know, it's very underworld, but at the same time, I needed to think about it. It's like, if we didn't have the trainer path, and I was connected with each and every one of you as potential trainers, and you would need to go through emotional healing process, and I would ask you for 150 euros every time you went through an emotional mm-hmm. healing process, okay, I would be probably rich by now. And I've set it up as everybody's healing, you know, and so I don't know most of the processes you do, I don't know about them, because you are in contact with each other and you have your own teams, and this is how I want it. Like, this is how I want you guys to be empowered and to move for those things, not as the pace of your wallet, you know, but as the pace of your necessity. So it sounds really counterintuitive to say, oh, I'm holding space for a group and now I'm going to give them my job to do with each other. And then, okay, which job am I going to have? And this is about trusting this, the process of replacing yourself so you can be bumped to the next level. So there's another game world waiting for you, or probably there's another game world waiting for you to be invented by you. You know, but if you don't replace yourself, you don't have enough space and attention and energy and anything to create that next game world, when actually you've been used to your maximum, like at the level that you are. And actually, I think it goes way faster than we think about being used up, you know, like having maxed out how much we can bring value to this place. It happens faster than we think. And so it's sort of, you know, the trainer path really has been only flying for about a year, and already I'm like replacing myself, you know, and a year is not so long in the human's life or something. So I would encourage you to, you know, keep holding space until you're not needed anymore, until somebody can hold space as, you know, it's not really as good as you, but as with enough clarity that people still get the value that they need at that level. And then you bring maybe a group of people, or you bring new people into the next level. And yeah, because it's this part of there's not enough of us. Like, there's really more people that are waiting for this work to blossom, and they can't hear about it if we keep our little circle close, so we keep our income close, so we keep our whatever our box needs from our circle, you know, whatever reason we would not empower our circle to replace us, you know, and that can be looked into why we wouldn't have it that way, you know, what is the fear, or what is the need, or something like that. And it doesn't mean to let go of your circle too early. So it's really an elegant move to make, because if you let go of your circle too early and they can't hold it, then it will just collapse and then you have to start all over. So that's also not the thing. Okay, so in any case, I was empowering the Trainer Path Brazil to heal each other and to practice on each other. And so, you know, then they have a lot of practice. I mean, this is a great reason also why to do this with each other. But I wanted to go into this other part that is more about context or contextual, about initiation. And I want to read a little part of a text that's an essay. It's an eight-page essay that I will post on the group. And it's from Martin Prechtel at the end of his book, I think, Long Life, Honey in the Heart, which is about initiation into adulthood. So he wrote two books. One is called Secret of the Talking Jaguar, and that's initiation into shamanism. And then he wrote a second book, which is about his life, basically, called Lifelong Honey in the Heart, and that's about initiation into the village as an adult. And when you read the two books, they're separate, but it happens at the same time in his life. But he doesn't, it's like so amazing that you're just like, when does this guy sleep? You know, because there's so much happening. And those two books happen at the same time. Okay, so a tadpole's tail. Tadpole is those little frog after they lay eggs, and then what they become just afterwards is a tadpole. Mm-hmm. And the tail is at the end. Okay. An essay on initiation versus tribalism by Martin Prechtel. A great deal has been said about the possibility of making initiation and rites of passage for non-native, non-community, non-village, modern people. Tribal type initiations have been touted as a remedy, touted. What does it mean?
Don't.
Okay. Okay, so tribal type initiation has been advertised as a remedy for the frustration that modern people feel concerning the despair lives of their young people, or maybe even themselves. But I add that. In a nihilistic age filled with weapons, drugs, insolence, and depression, the parents of such children may be powerfully drawn to the wild, elegant lack of complication that can be seen in the eyes of a truly indigenous person. Perhaps they think that by simply obtaining a tribal initiation, the same way one buys a medicine, they will achieve that look of wholeness and belonging in their eyes, thereby avoiding the whole frightening landscape of the alienated synthetic existence of modern life. So there's another paragraph, but that's the one that I sort of wanted to talk about. Is he says, initiations that are attempted without the spirit or comprehension of the sacredness of the commonplace only serves to placate an uninitiated hunger for entertainment that hopes to fill the spiritual void of the individual and a whole culture with talk show, corn chips, movie, dopes, fast card, and the like. That hunger is an emptiness that should be wept into, grieved about, instead of blocked and filled up. The spirit, with a capital S, I'm talking about is not human spirit or churchy God. It is an elevated concept, an idea, or a meta, no, sorry. It is not an elevated concept, an idea, or a metaphor, but it's something bigger, older, and more dimensional, than maybe some scientists could even understand. Initiation with no spiritual root that are only engineered to make people into better people always fail, because they are horrible travesties of what initiation really should be. Worse yet, a ritual designed by psychologists to address psychological need through mythological metaphors with no real encounter with the butt-kicking bigness and beauty of deities, because then humans, not the spirit, are still at the center of that kind of universe. Mm-hmm. Martin Prechtel's write about initiation from an indigenous tribe. And we do make the distinction in possibility management between indigenous initiations and like next culture initiation. And however, they have a lot of intelligence and experience and a relation to what we would call archetypal forces, the bright principle. So he talks about the spirit or deities. What I would assume we would replace with that are bright principles, archetypal love, you know, the facets of archetypal love. So those are not human. Those are not human forces. And I'm in Greece here, and there's this, you know, we went to the Acropolis, and there's this part of getting that I think the Greek people or the myth all those, what the Roman and the Greek wanted to describe by having all those gods, all those facets of both the archetypal love and then the shadow world, like both have all the facets, but they've turned in them into gods at the image of human, which is so confusing, because then humans think that we can be a bright principles, which we cannot. We can only be the space through which they work through us. But then there's this separation of, I need to get there, or I need to go to heaven, or I need to praise them, not like as something outside of me, which I really enjoy in the Mayan culture, which is where he's writing from, is somehow that they get that this hole, he's talking about this empty hole that we have inside of us, and he's talking about grieving into it, which is really their way of like being with, basically. The way of being with is through grieving, which we have a lot of other ways. But that hole is not supposed to be filled. It is supposed to be there as the whole of creation, or the whole of a space through which those forces can come through. And I think it seems like accidental or coincidental that I went on the initiation website today, and then I found this text, and I was like, okay, this seems to be needed as a conversation of, in terms of the context in which we provide initiation, and that if we don't if we don't hold the space with the bigness or with the wider view of what is this all about? I mean, it's so easy to fall into this. Okay, this one person has this process, and one person has this process, and then it's like seems like an infinite number of emotional freaking healing process that people have to go through, and it's like, where are we going with all of this? And it's like this context of, we're not doing therapy, we're not doing psychology and trying to fix people or trying to make people better people. And that's what he says. This is not what initiation are about. It is about, can you move your point of origin and your assemblage point into a culture, like into yourself, so as to build a culture out of radical responsibility? So all those processes are really about that. And when people have jacked in, yes, there'll still be emotional healing process, but they will take care of themselves. They will come along the work, like along your archetypal lineage being in action in the world, along your bright principles being coming through you, you know, in the service of the village. They will just be part of like washing the clothes or something. But it takes a while for people to get there before they can really move their point of origin from mommy and daddy and school and having the right answer and fitting in, like making money and being loved, or thinking that they can be happy, or like the universe is about being happy, or I don't know where, like, that's where most people put their point of origin. And so therefore, this is about creating possibility, which I think, I mean, Clinton is writing a book called Possibility, and I remember being in Bali and having this glimpse. I don't know if sometimes you have this glimpse of what a thing is or what it could be. And I've had this glimpse of what the bright principle of possibility really is, and it lasted about 10 seconds, and now I can feel like it's kind of shut down again. But this is what we're working with. It's about, with bright principle of, and the bright principle of possibility, about creating possibility. And it's not about fixing people, because and with the possibility of them moving into, you know, what he says, Martin Preschel, is you think you can have initiation so you can look like us while still having your cars. Okay, some people think that. And it's like, okay, this is not what this is about. You're not going to become you know, healthier or more ecstatic or and still have all your comfort. You cannot stay in the cocoon and be a butterfly, which is often what people ask for. So, you know, you can say that and people, you know, say, oh, yes, of course, or whatever. They think they understand, but it's, I'm saying that more for us, the trainers, to move into that point of origin that they cannot have both. And this is the where the coaching goes, or the possibility or the transformation about, okay, it will be painful to get out of the cocoon. And so is that really what you want? I mean, I really am more careful right now about asking people what they really want and try to be as clear as possible about, you know, if you call me, you'll get a particular kind of coaching. If you don't want that coaching, don't call me. So I would say to not offer coaching about what they want is about what you want, about what you think is possible for them. To see bigger, because we have more matrix and we just see bigger. Most people, you know, I type in initiation in Google. You can do this. About a third is university initiation, where it's about basically torture. People torturing each other for no particular reason.
It's initiation?
It's like American initiation in colleges where they like binge drink people and whatever. People die and it's just... Yeah, fraternities and sororities and all this stuff. And then the other third is like black women getting undressed. And I'm like, what does that have to do with initiation? And then one fruit is like random, whatever. So it's like, okay, people don't know what initiations are. And so I think this is the background, this is the context of this work.
I have a question. So do you like when people are first starting out, like coming to these trainings, are you saying that it is like you recommend to give people this distinction? Because I have the sense that a lot of people don't really get that at first, like what you're saying. Like people are often, and the thing is like people are often looking to heal themselves. Like when I first came to PM, that's what it was about for me in the beginning. And it changed a lot, like through going through the processes and like my box changing and point of origin changing, I got it over time. But in the beginning, I was just like, I need to fix myself. And so do you think it's important to make that distinction for people in the beginning, or is it something you think they will get over time?
I mean, I think I'm still really at like grasping all this, like still really very much experimenting. And I think I've been mostly on the more like softer side about this. And then I did this bunch of Rage Club and Fear Clubs and stuff like that. And then I think in the middle of it, Clinton started holding a particular space. Maybe it was the Rage and Draw Brilliant Love. And him going off into this, you know, adding all this context and this. And I'm like, wait a second, those people, they've never heard about possibility management. Like how? And then I realized that the reason people came, and I think the reason you went to possibility management is that that was the context. And you didn't know it at first, sure, but this is what you were really there for. And so it's like, yes, there's the mind, they don't understand. And this other thing is coming because it that context has this particular frequency and radiance and clarity and context. And this is not about just ourselves. So yes, people will start there. And it's sort of what I've seen in most people is that they're like, when they finally can hear what this context is about, they're like, I've been waiting for this all my life. Oh my God. Thank you for saying it with so much clarity and so much power and having the steps, and that there it is. There it is paved. So I think I'm encouraging also myself of going more in that direction.
Yeah, and what is this is resonating with me a lot, because in my practice, in my clinical practice, like the context itself perpetuates people coming already as a victim. And it's so, I've been in a dead place for like a long, long time, and with very old people. So people that are coming to me are like very resistant to change. And I'm feeling that like a lot of anger lately, because my whole context has to change. And I'm feeling pushed to find my own place, to build my own dome, because I cannot hold that anymore. And I can only speak this from experience. It's like and this clarity of another kind of initiation is really is to do it. Like I don't have like another words. And for example, you were saying about native initiations, and I really feel that like we are kind of baby humans still learning how to be humans with all our parts. So it's like physical, intellectual, emotional, energetic, archetypal, and this context is really like all this open door for the integration of all of this. Because what I experience even with a plant medicine, there's the integration part is done in one way, and then what possibility management context offers is like you can do this in so many levels, and it's necessary to be kind of integrated also with language. And so it's like, because our experience so far with thoughts and language and yeah, you can go and dance, but then it's like about communication. And that's the part where I feel also it's changing a lot in me. And like I see myself changing with all this like language. It's a different language. I feel layers opening and spaces that are different, are deep, are unknown. Yeah. I wanted to share this because this is my experience right now. So this conversation is really helping me to go, like just to go, because a part of me is dead for a long time.
Thank you. Welcome back to life. I just want to say one thing about what Joanna said about this language. So Suzanne, I read a book, and then now Suzanne is reading it, which I would really encourage you to watch all the movies and read the books on the list. I mean, I know Clinton and I have been like kind of like harassing people about that, but there's a reason, because they build a lot of matrix, because a lot of people I think have memory of, well, not a memory, like a remembrance or a connection to the source. And maybe one of the ways that has been most spread around has been through movies and books and some form of art. So anyway, in that book, which is called Stranger in a Strange Land from Robert Heinlein, it's about a Martian. And the whole book is about that in Mars, they have a different language, and therefore they have a different thoughtware, and therefore they have different powers. And it hit me so much when I read this book about this is it. Like, it's about if you have different words and different relationship to those words and to those experiences, then you get a new world. And the thing that pisses me off is that Robert Heinlein didn't write the Martian dictionary, which is what we really needed. You know, he wrote about the possibility of having a different language. He doesn't write the language. Okay, so enough about the possibility. Okay, we need the language. Yeah, so thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I have a struggling that rise up now. Listen to you, Joanna, and also to the others, because I feel like I feel completely involved in this initiation, in this like different world, and the people that I met that I meet are they really don't want to change completely. They would like to change, and then when you propose them, when I propose them initiation or a real transformation, they have fear, and I don't want to go through. And so my experience is really struggling, because for me it's something, it's a way of life, of live. So I cannot live without process. I cannot live without initiation. And this is like that from, I think, more than 10 years, because I started 10 years ago. And I started also to deliver process, and people come, and then when they realize what kind of transformation is my offer, they have fear, and they don't want. They prefer to do like yoga or ecstatic dance or I don't know what that seems like transformation, and not go really through emotional process. And this is incomprehensible for me, and it's really painful, because I don't know how to do it. I don't know if there is Italian people or what. I don't know how to go on. Yes, sorry.
You're doing fine, Sarah.
Sorry?
You're doing fine.
I don't know, because I know that I'm here for this. I know that I'm here for do this. And I don't know how to do it. Because people are so scared about, and they are so scared about transformation and about living their life. And yes, and became a butterfly.
I have a proposal, like maybe a hint for you. And it's about your resonance field. Your resonance field, which is about what you emanate from you and from your work. The way that you can know that is about who's coming to your trainings. And then what I heard you say is you emanate a particular field, and then people come and want some form of transformation. But when you really want to go into what your transformation that you're offering, they say no. And they say, I want to do yoga or ecstatic dance and the likes. So it would give me a hint that somehow you resonate, you have a resonance field that is like ecstatic dance or yoga, as maybe a way of being liked or being soft or not actually bringing your clarity out. And therefore that's the people that you attract. And then when you just like, hey, this is actually what I'm doing, they're like, oh, this is not what I bought in. And that would be the confusion, which would make it very painful for you if you're not aware of your resonance field. Because I cannot believe that among, what, the like 50 million Italian people, how many people is there in Italy?
I don't know.
Okay, let's say, maybe not 50, let's say 20 million people in Italy, that nobody has, you know, a need for growing up. I cannot believe that.
Me too.
So it seems like it would be about you changing your resonance field or your context or your clarity, which would include your assholeness. There's a way that your resonance field is very, I mean, you know, look at Anna's screen. Because she lives in the underworld, you know? You know, and that's part of a resonance field. She is okay sitting in a trainer path call. We would like to see you, Anna. You know, in front of people kissing each other and looking at their cell phone, because that's the underworld that's out there. And she's aware of it, and she's going to face it. Well, you know, part of her says, this is what we're going to face together. You know, and then you're sitting there in this curcuma, mango, archetypal of white light, you know, which is needed. And that's what people think they're going to get. Mango freshness. Okay. And really, you have a whole other world. You have a whole other offer and whole other value, but it's mud and it's dirty and it's people's shit and you put your hand in it. So, you know, I know in light language, I don't know much about light language in that lineages, but what I've heard from it is that women bring like 50 dresses when they go and spend a month with Star Fuentes because they need to change dress for their energy that they're vibrating. I'm like, so I don't know, it really hit me. And I was like, okay, why don't I have 50 dresses? I have leggings and t-shirt. This is like, you know, I've had that for years and I barely never buy new clothes because I'm on my knees. In the trainings, I'm on my knees. People spit on me. People vomit. It's, you know, disgusting. And but that's the mud. So you could make like experiment about how to make your life a little more muddy. Or your annual, which would change your resonance field.
It's strange what you say because it's something that people see in me. They see a lovely person, and I am too. I am also that, and I am totally a warrior. And who work with me on my process, they know, they really know that I'm totally in the mud and totally a warrior. And so it's I don't know how to do. I'm also a lovely people. I am full of love and I am a warrior.
I believe you, but that's not part of your resonance field. Because that's the feedback that you get, that you're a lovely person. So somehow it is not part of your resonance field. So find a couple people, be like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make myself dirty, you know, or make it part of my resonance field. And, you know, there's this line I keep sort of saying, and you've been on this like lovely side kind of, you know, at the extreme. So you'll need to go a little bit above the line and be on the other extreme for a while until you can find this middle ground. Okay. You won't lose your access to this loveliness that people are also attracted to. They need that. They need the warriors. They need the mud digger. They need, you know, putting your hands in the blood and the whole damn thing. So would you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Who is there anybody here that knows what I'm talking about? Okay.
I would like to offer a possibility to Sarah. Like maybe you can try something like dressing in a way that would support you for that. Like, even if it's just for like a day or half a day, or you go out on a walk and like have like, I don't know, a t-shirt with something.
Black leather, that, like,
yeah.
Black, whole like Metallica.
I have one with a tiger.
No, but even Tiger is like
lovely.
Yes.
No. Tiger,
you want to? It's they're cute.
Dreadlocks. Make dreadlocks. No makeup.
You can also. I'm going to do this soon because there's a party, electronic party, and I know the guy that is offering the party. And he asked if we wanted to be part of the event somehow, and I just throw myself and Habet and Melina to deliver a session from midday to 2. And the party begins at 3. So he doesn't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do some So even in ecstatic dance, you have introduction. So you can go and make people feel before an ecstatic dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amanda, I interrupted you about the experiment. Was there something else?
No, I liked what you said. It was more emphasizing. And I just want to also say, Sarah, it's not a joke. Like, I meant it seriously as an experiment. You could even do it at ecstatic dance. Like, go to ecstatic dance, like, yeah, dressed in, like, black, like, chains or something that has this underworld energy to it. Like, put together an underworld outfit and wear it sometimes, like to dance or for a walk or with your friends, whatever. Yeah, try it out.
Taking your kids to school. Yeah. Okay, Anna, do you have anything? Or are you offering your service as a... You put your hand up.
No, I just said that I'm starting to find out more what I resonate in life, and it's often not what I thought I would resonate. So, yeah, I was just very... What you talked about is also happening a lot in my life in a bit different version. Yeah.
Can you give an example?
In the last few weeks, I had a lot of people wanting me to do something different because I said I'm going to become a tax lawyer because that's a good thing to earn a lot of money and not work so much. So I have a lot of time with my daughter. And I told my boss that I'm not going to make it. And there seems to be in different places, not only from the job, people who are telling me that I have a wrong money mindset. And it's just interesting for me because I do feel fear about it, and often this right and wrong, I then put my center out there and say, okay, but there are more of them, so maybe they're right, and maybe it's just me in the moment who's wrong, and maybe I wake up one day and then I do need a mention that I own or whatever. But I just feel that there's the people I am with in the moment are often part of really a lot of other things. So that's why I'm so keen on kind of every trainer path call, because I feel it's just a really different world. And this is one I'm attracted to. And I don't really have a lot around me in my ordinary life. And I also have resistance building my team. And I always have excuses. Now there's exams coming up and whatever. And I have to change my behavior. This will give a different resonance, and then it's more what I need and what I want to have around me instead of waiting for things to happen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I was traveling on this adulthood website, and there's some text, and then at some point there's a quote that says, "True adulthood is a difficult beauty, an intensely hard-won glory, which commercial forces and cultural vapidity should not permit to deprive you of." So even in the midst of a bunch of people saying you have a wrong money mindset, which, you know, just sound insane from here, that you can, you know, and this is the path that it seems like you say you on, you know, that about, you can stand there and be like, Jesus, what a horrible world you live in. Like what a so like limited and constricted and non-ecstatic world, and you want me to believe that, and that doesn't come from intellectual clarity. It really comes from moving this point of origin, and that can be, and you don't have to. It's not like a certificate. Like it's not a one-time thing. I think it's an ongoing path, and I notice every day where cultural vapidity does deprive me of my own adulthood. And to be like, you know, sometimes feeling the pain of it and sometimes being I let my gremlin win. But this would be the context of the coaching or the workshops or the trainings, about getting to a point where, when even you're not there as the trainer, or as the space holder, or that people can leave and start owning, like, holding their own space into that context. So then at some point, you know, and the point where you'll stop coming to the trainer path is that you're holding that context, and then you will go and build your own thing and pass it on, you know. And so there's a reason why we're still here, is that we're still building that hard-won glory.
I want to tell a story. It's about this interaction with the society and modern culture, because I wanted to rent a space and they asked for my curriculum. And I was one day, me and Layla, she already went to PM context, and she was like panicking. And I was like, okay, Layla, they want this, we're going to give them this. So what are you? And then we started creating, and then I was like, okay, I have like physiotherapy degree, like master degree on physical therapy, master degree in osteopathy. And I was like, of course I have a master degree in possibility management. So I just graduated. And you have to, so just put that on the curriculum. I don't know the consequences of this, but it was just so fun to just, okay, there's just, they don't know us, they want this, they need something to feed their minds. But then, yeah, and she was so insecure, saying, okay, let's do this. It's like, let's create our world. If they don't accept us, that was not the way, you know, it was not the place. We build our own place. Yeah. I have the picture I can send to you.
I want to say something to you, Anna, and maybe there's a little bit of emotional reaction in this, but I thought maybe it could be helpful anyway. So I just, like, our culture, or modern culture, I shouldn't say our culture, like modern culture is so, like, there's so much bullshit around like money and like how you should be and all of this stuff, like how much you should earn. And like I still get pressure also from my family to like live differently than how I live, because I don't have a lot of money, but I'm also, it's like scarcity is like a mindset. It's like, you know, people can freak out about how much money they have, and they have like a lot of money, or like a lot more than me, or they can have less money than me and still feel like everything is gonna be okay. And there's these ideas about like what you have to have and like what you need to consume in order to live, and I get so angry about it, because it's all just like fed to us so that we buy more stuff, and it like steals our souls to be occupied with this, like our attention and our energy. And I don't know if that's like helpful to you that I say that, but I just wanted to share that because I get so frustrated with all this cultural pressure that is put on everybody about like how we should live or the perspective we should have. And when the reality is that most people are asleep and most people are totally stuck in a system and are not, don't have their center and don't have their power. And like, in order to get out of that, it's like you need to have that connection with yourself. So I don't know if I just want to say,
I want to give you sort of a little coaching, just noticing here what's going on for me. And I've just heard I've noticed or I've seen you do that a few times. So, and it's a way that your own, you know, your own anger or your own, anger towards modern culture or even sadness or fear comes out somehow as almost preaching, like sort of borderline preaching, and which I can feel, I'm just like defending myself against that. And it's like, I think this is a phase that you've had enough clarity. Like, you know, some people need to go through the phase of preaching to get out of, and it's almost fanatical. It's kind of a fanatical preaching. And it's like you're way past that. And what I would offer you is to use this huge amount of pain, like this anger and fear and sadness that you have from your own, you know, parents and environment, and the clarity that you got from working with it, like getting yourself free from it. Okay, then you have a bunch of experiments and distinction and available value for a process, to take somebody for a process, because you can say that as much as possible. And Anna is still, there's a process there. There's something that stops her from not believing those asshole guy at her tax job. Okay, and none of your preaching will help her. So yes, keep that pain, and instead of burning it as preaching, hold it as clarity. Yeah.
Okay, for me, thank you.
What landed for me was really like, I don't know if you know the exercise with the black hole where you just get a lot of energy. And this is how I felt just sitting in front of the black hole, because you had a lot of energy going down. And for me, there was not really information that landed. I've been reading, and also I'm studying now in the money way. So there's a lot of informational information I have. So it's stuck with other things. As Anne-Chloe said, it's part of me wanting to be part of the culture that I'm surrounded by.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Anna, I want to offer, if you want to go in the process, I want to offer to hold space.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Amanda, as a hint for you, what you can practice, and I don't think the website is empty about that, but it's called Vacuum Rapid Learning. And it's about, instead of giving feedback as a pressure, is, or doing rapid learning as a pressure, which is go, beep, shift, go, which is useful in a clear setup learning environment, like rapid learning environment, like Possibility Team in the Expand the Box is a go, beep, shift, go environment. And you need that speed. And basically in any other space where that's not set up like that, the go, beep, shift, go comes as a pressure, and then the box has to defend itself, and then you're fighting against the whole thing. So instead, the vacuum rapid learning is question, and it's authentic questions from you saying, God, I see you, Anna, over there in this pain of something. maybe I don't even get it. Maybe I don't, you know, and to honestly say, maybe I don't even get where actually your pain comes from. And it's like, but I see there's pain and what, you know, what is going on? I'm on your team and I want to know what's going on because I don't think this pain is useful for you. Something like that. This pain is not useful for you. And so without losing the clarity, you know, anger, sadness, fear, and joy, low drama, high drama, gremlin, box, old decision, adaptiveness, like you need all of that still in the vacuum. And that would inform how you ask a question. Your clarity would inform you how you ask a question, but not how you would give the feedback. So, and I think that's something we could even practice because I notice myself wanting to give feedback and it's like, how do I turn it into a question without expecting the answer of the feedback that I was going to get? You know, because that's manipulation. So is this authentic, like, you're more on her side than she is, really, actually. What?
Like with the question, you mean?
Yeah. And then, yes, at some point there would be distinction that comes in. Okay, you know, which part of you is that? Okay, people don't know about gremlin, then you would have to give the distinction gremlin. You know, but it's like, okay, which part is saying I? Which part says I want to believe them or sometimes I believe them? Okay, which I is that? Okay, why would it be, how come you want to hold on to that I? Like, what is the feeling behind it? What's the feeling? And let the thing unfold. And that's been so, people then fall into the context that you're offering. And that would fit into our conversation of the context of initiation is you ask the question for them to feel that there's a space bigger than whatever space they're in. And it's like, oh, wow. And they can start looking around and step out of their own prison. Like each emotion is a prison made out of story entangled with emotion. Those are the prison bars. Okay. And then you were like, you know, looking at Anna holding the prison bar and be like, why are you in there? Like, why are you in there? And it's like, and Anna's like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, and it's like, and I don't know if you've ever seen that drawing of like this pigeon looking through the bars of the prison and then all of behind him is open, but he's like, I can't get out because he's holding on to the prison bar. And what you do is like, what about this? What about this? And they're like, I don't know if I want to look. You know, they'll be, I don't know if I want to look. And it's like, okay, which part of you doesn't want to look? Oh God, there's another part that does want to look. And it's like, and then you in it with them, something. Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Thank you. Cool, thank you. That was very, very helpful feedback. I'm really glad that we can learn like this. In this way. So I'm glad that I did it, even though it, you know, it was a beat, but it's really, really, really helpful. Yeah.
Was anybody at the study group last night? Was Clinton? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down, nobody cares about my failures. You know, and like, we don't care that you've had a beep. You know, we don't care.
And
what we care is about, okay, what are we going to do about it together? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I really kind of have to remind me of that. Like, nobody cares about my failure. Okay, ladies, I was going to say, but friends, Anna.
I'd like a little space for feedback.
Oh, yeah, here we go. 6 minutes, like five.
I'm really surprised. For me, the last 3 weeks, you've been holding space, I think, is that right? Last week and then the week was, I think, yes. And I really like your clearness, and it has sort of really sharp edges sometimes with yes and no, and I really like that. And since the last week, starting with the topic to really be on, you had different words, my words are to really be on eye level and to go together. Something in me shifted, and I feel a different color, and it's still very clear, and it's more loving. And I know this is now a bit maybe judgmental that you say it was less loving before. I didn't miss it before, and I enjoy what it's, how it's now. Thank you.
Thank you.
I felt a difference today. Last time you hold a call was with Clinton, I guess. And I feel it different. And this is maybe a question for him, if he would like to attend the calls or just be in the WhatsApp. And I feel with him next to you, there was a mix. It's a different kind of fear when you hold space together. In that sense, I'm surprised with today. It changed a lot, so it was really unknown for me, and I guess for you too. That's kind of what I feel, and I really enjoyed this openness for speaking our what's real for us right now, what's happening for us, and then. Naturally having like other beings' food to work with. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
We are closing. Yes, yeah. If we are closing, I would like to ask to Anna and Amanda if you are available for hold space for my healing process about what we talked today or possibility. What came? I don't know.
Yes, and for me, only in the evenings because I don't want to have my daughter around.
Okay.
After 8:30 my time, in German time.
German time. I don't know what about Amanda. Where are you?
Yes, and I'm in Costa Rica.
Yes.
So I think there's an 8-hour difference. Like I think I'm 8 hours earlier than Germany. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you do logistics?
So in private, yes.
Great.
Yes. Thank you.
I just want to add that the more sort of we grow up, the emotional healing process are often not so straightforward. In the beginning, they're really straightforward. It's like mom and dad and getting back the anger and those are more, I would say, like delicate or refined process. So there's a part of emotion part, and then there could be a big part of speaking or landing distinction or doing experiment right there. Or and stuff like that. So yeah, just broaden your, like, have fun with holding space for each other.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye. See you next week.
Ooh, I have to read it.
I'm closing the meeting.
Yes, okay. I'm
okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank